KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:03, it's cloudy and 64 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to become partly cloudy today with a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. The Audubon County Board of Supervisors have voted to appoint someone on a temporary basis to fill the position of treasurer following the death Sunday of Audubon County Treasurer Connie Johnson. According to county officials, the board Monday approved giving authority to Deb Campbell to serve as treasurer on a day-to-day basis instead of holding a costly special election. The supervisors did set May the 9th as the date to appoint an interim treasurer. All Audubon County offices will be closed tomorrow, May the 3rd, so that county employees who choose to do so may attend Johnson's funeral. Connie Johnson was 53 years old. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira is in charge of the funeral arrangements. News time is 8:04.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window, as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Atlantic City Council will discuss and vote on the first readings of two ordinances this evening. One of the ordinances pertains to urban deer control. The council tabled action on the ordinance last month because the Community Protection Committee, or CPC, learned that City Attorney Dave Wiederstein had included some language in the proposed ordinance that was not in their original draft. The committee has since reviewed the ordinance and have worked with Wiederstein to make some modifications. The CPC recommends the council approve the ordinance as amended. The second ordinance is with regard to reducing the speed limit on East 22nd Street from Whitney Street or Highway 71 to Olive Street from 45 to 35 miles per hour. After receiving some negative feedback from the public last month, the council voted down a proposal to lower the speed limit on both the east and west sections of 22nd Street from 45 to 35 miles per hour. Snyder & Associates engineer Dave Sturm shared with the CPC at a recent meeting the findings and recommendations of Snyder's traffic engineer, Todd Knox, who recommends, based on a study of actual speed of traffic on the road, to leave the speed limit where it is. Knox said there could be some site issues, both horizontal and vertical, that could justify changing the speed limits. City Administrator Doug Harris said the CPC discussed the findings with Police Chief Steve Green and concurred with his findings to lower the speed limit on the east section of 22nd from 45 to 35 miles per hour. Factors figuring into that recommendation include driveways that are obscured from motorists' view, the prospect of future development in the area, and the amount of pedestrian traffic on that stretch of road. In other business, the Atlantic City Council will act on setting May the 16th as the date for a public hearing on any proposed amendments to the fiscal year 2012 budget. This evening's meeting gets underway at 5:30 in the Council's chambers at the Atlantic City Hall. Members of the Elkhorn-Kimbleton Community School District's Board of Education will hold a special meeting tomorrow morning in the superintendent's office at the high school in Elkhorn. On their agenda is discussion about and possible action on approving a resolution for adopting a redistricting plan and the redrawing of director district boundaries. Elsewhere in the news, authorities say heavy rain, high winds, and hail impounded much of Iowa overnight, but no injuries were reported. There were several reports of uprooted trees, vehicles blown off the roadways, and roofs damaged or torn off late Tuesday and early Wednesday morning as a line of storms raced eastward through the state. Power lines were down in Ames and other cities in central Iowa and east in Grundy County. MidAmerican Energy had reported about 20 customers lost power in Waterloo. State climatologist Harry Hilliker says the just-completed month of April helped to push the state to a new weather record.
For the first third of the year, temperature-wise, running about 7.4 degrees above normal for the first four months of 2012. And preliminarily, that would be the warmest first third of the year on record, about 3/10 degree above 1878, which had been the previous warmest January through April period in Iowa.
April was the seventh straight month where we've seen the average temperature end above the norm,
averaging about 3 degrees above normal for April. However, that made us not quite 1 degree warmer than what March was like. And so if it seems like this month was not much warmer than the previous, you'd be correct. They're actually both very, very similar.
There was some April fooling going on by Mother Nature, it appears, when it came to the temperatures, as Hilliker says the month started warmer than it finished.
First half of the month was averaging about 6 degrees warmer than usual. Second half of April was slightly cooler than normal. And so overall, really not much trend as it went through the month. You kind of expect things to be the other way around.
The numbers show that April was wetter than average.
Statewide average, just under 4 inches, 3.99 to be exact. And that's about a half inch more than normal for the month of April. Ranks 31st wettest April in 140 years of records. Actually very similar to what the last several years have been like as well in that regard.
He says that ranks it as 31st wettest April in 140 years of records, and is very similar to the April totals the last 3 years. Hilliker says the first third of the year saw about two-thirds of an inch more rainfall than we usually see, but he says it's about what we've seen over the same period the last few years. It ranks as the 29th wettest first 4 months of the year on state record books. There is a possibility that we also saw the first snowless April since 1890. Hilliker says there was a report of sleet on April 28th, which is technically considered to be snow. Here in Atlantic, the average high for the month of April was 67.7 degrees. The average low was 40.2. Rainfall for the month amounted to 4.18 inches. The normal average high for the month of April here in Atlantic is 62.6. while the normal monthly low is 37, and rainfall during the month normally averages just over 3 inches. Taking a look at our national news headlines at this hour, the FBI is accusing 5 men of repeatedly trying to detonate what they thought were real bombs beneath an Ohio bridge. The men unknowingly had been working with an FBI informant for months, and the explosives were fake. Authorities describe the 5 as anarchists who are angry with corporate America. They're being held in custody without bond. A man in Massachusetts said he had to smash the window of a daycare center to get to his 3-year-old daughter, who'd been locked inside after workers left for the day. Keith Paquette says he arrived at the Westport Country Day School just after 5 p.m. Monday to pick up his child, but the building was locked and no one was there. Paquette said when he heard crying inside, he broke the window. School officials say they thought the girl had been picked up. And a New Jersey woman is accused of taking her 5-year-old daughter to a tanning salon, and authorities say the girl has burns. The 44-year-old mother, who's extremely tanned, had told various television stations that her daughter was in the room while she was tanning but never entered the tanning booth. Patricia Krenzel is charged with child endangerment. She was released on $25,000 bond. News time is 8:10.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements, Irma Haflinger, age 100, of Audubon, died Sunday. Funeral services for Irma Haflinger will be today at 1:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Mary Paolozzi, age 86, of Harlan, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Paolozzi will be held on Thursday at 10 o'clock at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Mabel Hobbs, age 89, of Atlantic and formerly of Anita, died Monday. Funeral services, make that memorial services for Mabel Hobbs, will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Connie Jean Johnson, age 53, of Brayton, died Sunday. Funeral services for Connie Johnson will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Calvin Cal Steffen, age 88, of Griswold, died Sunday. Funeral services for Cal Steffen will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Clifford Bax, age 79, of Greenfield, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Clifford Bax are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Larry Childress, age 70, of Elkhorn, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Larry Childress are currently pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. And Vicki Sue Wingett, age 61, of Dexter, died Friday. The family of Vicki Wingett will hold a gathering for her at a later date. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart is assisting the family with those arrangements. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.